We Talk Podcast presents...
Huge news revealed during Raw tonight that there will be a ladder match for the Intercontinental Championship at WrestleMania. Kevin Owens, of course, the Intercontinental Champion, but you will have an opportunity in that match. Now, imagine all the years of hard work, all the years of, in some ways, maybe being overlooked. This is an opportunity for Zack Ryder to be on the grandest stage of them all. How satisfying is that?
Rich, my whole life, all I ever wanted to do was be here, you know? Be a WWE superstar. Be backstage, you know, with me and Gene, you know. I was at WrestleMania 10, Shawn Michaels, Razor Ramon, ladder match, WrestleMania 32. I'll be in the ladder match for the IC title. It's insane. You know, I have goosebumps thinking about it. You know, I've never once heard my music play at Mania. This year I get to. This year, I have goosebumps. I don't know if you can see it. My parents are going to be there. Everyone's going to be there watching, but, you know, this one's for me. Because there's so many people who were on the bandwagon years ago who kind of, where have they been now? Because the past 4 years I've done nothing of relevance, except just work my ass off, knowing that one day I'd get another shot. And this is it. WrestleMania 32. If you asked me last week, I didn't think I'd be on WrestleMania 32. And now I can go from internet champ to intercontinental champ. You know it.
Woo, 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 you know it!
Oh, radio, tell me everything you know.
What it is, what it do, welcome like to One Fall with your host Joshua, Adam, William Arbuthnot, and the one, the only, the ultimate babyface, Mr. Joel Johnson.
How's it going?
It was an interesting week in the world of professional wrestling, you know. One and two of the first 2 hours of Raw were great, but adding three to anything is just never good. And that's what the third hour of Raw was this week. Wouldn't you agree? Three of anything with wrestling is just, it's negative.
Yeah, you add three and it just turns into this big mess.
It turns into a cluster. It's too much. That's why I've never been a big fan of the three-man dance.
No, it never works. Like, WrestleMania 20, that was a two-man main event, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. I mean, maybe the women's match will be okay being with the three ladies. We'll have to see. I haven't seen anything that works really with three, though, you know?
No, neither have I, so...
So, we should move on now with what we have, and where do we even start, Joel? Where do we start?
Well, I think...
Finally, you guys have a little class and a little dignity on your show. Finally, I'm here to save your poor listeners from your uneducated tastes, takes, and everything else you have, all your uneducated opinions. You guys, I think fans are finally sick and tired of listening to Josh and Joel, so we got Mo from We Talk Wrestling here to finally give us a little bit. I mean, Josh, your face looks like you chased a fart through a keg of nails. Your voice sounds like you're performing oral sex to somebody underwater.
Perfect.
You know less about wrestling than Donald Trump knows about foreign policy or good manners. But at least I can listen to you a little bit. Joel, on the other hand, I can't get over. I know it's called the Stick Boy Podcast, but it's a little disgusting, isn't it? Have yourself a hamburger, maybe a hot dog. Eat some food, boy. Please, please, aren't you worried when you're having a shower that you're going to get washed down into the drain with the water? Aren't you scared a little bit? I mean, you're the only person I've ever seen in my entire life that can look out a peephole with both eyes at the same time. It is frightening. Have some food, eat a little bit, quit distracting me. I mean, I'm guessing you're not watching Raw, or when you do watch it, you obviously don't watch the same thing I'm watching. And that makes sense. After all, you're so skinny, we could probably blindfold you with some dental floss. But nevertheless, I can never stand listening to you guys anymore and subjugating your listeners to what you guys have to say with me sitting on the sidelines when I have all this knowledge, all this class, all this wit and wisdom to add to your show. So, hey, yo, I'm Mo.
And with that, we get into our Total Divas review.
Comeback, guys? No. No, seriously, thank you for having me on. Thank you. I've been wanting to do this for a while.
I mean, you know, that is how you cut a heel promo. Maybe, you know, some fans and some wrestlers could learn a thing or two from Mo there. He cut me down, and I'm just left speechless right now. He dropped the first ever pipe bomb on Fresh Take and on Stick Boy.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go try that dental floss thing. I think that might be a good idea. Help me sleep at night.
I'm trying to get a hammer to take the nails out of my face right now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, you know, and may I mention, bullet points. I didn't have 26 people write that for me. You know, unbelievable. That's almost like that's how you would cut promos that don't suck.
That's weird. It seems like there was a time when we did that, that it worked really well.
I don't know. Maybe.
Oh, well.
Well, let's, you know, I think we'll start off with Monday Night Raw, which is...
Yeah, woo, you know it. I'm going right to Zack Ryder.
You know, I...
It's 2012, 2011 all over again. We just got to hope that Kane doesn't come out and throw him off the stage in a wheelchair.
Eva Marie's going to be on Supergirl, so maybe she appears, maybe some cross...
Eva... no, Torres. Eve
Torres.
Yeah. Not Eva Marie. She's not that popular yet, Joel. I know you love her, but she's not there just yet.
I think that I look at Zack Ryder and I go, this guy has been through the ringer. He rose to fame, Intercontinental Champion. He had Internet Champion. He rose to fame.
When you say, Joel, you got to say the Internet Champion.
He definitely kind of carved out his own little niche. He was never going to be a big main eventer. He was never going to be the guy. And then they just killed the run, and then we didn't really hear from him a whole lot. No. Then his latest win was Emma.
Yep.
And now he's at WrestleMania.
Is he dating Emma in the kitchen with Tennille, or Dark Emma? Which Emma does he get? Because there's like three different ones.
I think he gets Dark Emma because I think she wears the pants in the relationship, so...
Wouldn't you kind of want a little bit of cooking with Tennille, though, too?
Yeah, you want a little bit. I mean, she can bake a cake with an Edge and Christian recipe, so...
Right, right. That's something I want to get on a little bit, is Edge and Christian, for sure. But I think, you know...
I heard that about you.
About what?
I'm sorry. If you're going to open the door, I'm going to walk through.
Yeah. What did you think about, Mo, about this coming together of the entire IC title
match? If you're going to ask me per match, what are my excitement level per match, it's very low for the IC title match. I mean,
really?
Yeah, and the thing is, I was at last year's WrestleMania.
Awesome.
And live, the ladder match, that's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun. It's become a WrestleMania tradition now to have some form of ladder match, multi-man ladder match. The thing about last year was what they put Daniel Bryan into the show, and they gave him the ladder. Because, I mean, the build-up last year with everybody stealing the belt was awful, and Wade Barrett had it. And that belt didn't have a lot of – it didn't have a lot of – I don't know. It wasn't very
luster.
Important at the time.
Yeah,
luster at the point. Yeah. And they've actually – despite the fact that Daniel Bryan got hurt, I mean, other than Ryback winning the IC title tournament – You've had Ambrose and Kevin Owens, and Kevin Owens is like your number two or number one heel, and Ambrose is your number two babyface, and I think the belt means a little something. All of a sudden, you start throwing in your Zack Ryders and Sin Cara and this stuff into this, and the belt itself isn't important anymore. Fair. As soon as you put in guys like that at that level, like it just brings down. All of a sudden, you go, okay, This is them thinking they have to do that three-ring circus thing of something for everybody, and this will be the ladder match, and that'll be the high spots match. Instead of actually just building up a match for the belt like it's important. I mean, they have done no video packages giving us the Kevin Owens versus Sami Zayn feud, and they have all sorts of great stuff they can do that. Sami Zayn is lacking mic time, big time, because he's proven he could cut the good promo in NXT. Yep. So I'm looking at this and I'm like, it's smoke and mirrors. There's nothing to it. Cody Rhodes is a guy who's really, really talented, but they've blown it with Zack Ryder. It's amazing. Years ago, I think 5 years ago on We Talk Wrestling, because we've been at this since we used to send telegrams for podcasting back in the 1800s. We've been at this for a long time. But
and Abraham Lincoln was NWA champion.
Yeah, exactly. But we had the discussion, I think this was 5 years ago. Hey, they're both 25, and this was when Zack Ryder was hot, you know, mm-hmm. and, And it's like, who would you rather have 5 years from now? Cody Rhodes or Zack Ryder in your company? Because they're both the same age. They're both.
I would have said Cody.
And now? Well, no, now neither one of them.
No, neither one.
Like 5 years later. So,
yeah, for sure.
So, and again, I don't want to talk too much. I mean, it's your guys' show here.
My
excitement level for the match, 3 out of 10. Like, wow. It's that low because I mean, it'd be fun for them to put the belt on somebody like Zack Ryder. But the truth is, and you know, Emma, you mentioned Emma. She's now going to be in the multi-woman match. Now it looks like a 5-on-5 match. I'm like, Emma, when's the last time we even saw her?
4-on-4, actually.
No, 5-on-5 now.
Is Lana, who's in the Divas corner? Emma.
Emma is going to be in the match.
No, and the Total Divas side, because it's Foxy, Brie, Natty, and Paige.
They haven't announced it yet. Expect that this coming week. But it's five people. It's right now.
Lana
nine.
Is going to wrestle then. Still,
it looks like it. Yeah,
with the Carpet Muncher or whatever that move is called.
I heard that about you, but
don't worry. I would say this though. I agree. You make very solid points, Mo. I can't disagree. A lot of the points you're making about the ladder match are all justified. I just look at it, and I agree with you. I would personally prefer a Sami Zayn and KO match. I think they've earned it. They've proved a Ring of Honor with this Al Generico guy who looks a lot like Sami Zayn and wrestles like him. I'm not sure if it's the same person. I've heard rumors, but I'm not sure. But El Generico has a similar wrestling style to Sami Zayn, and him and Kevin Owens did great in Ring of Honor, and then the stuff in NXT, it'd be great for them to have the match with themselves. But, you know, I'm cool with the ladder match. It'll be a fun match. It'll be a lot of spots, and I would agree with you that I don't exactly like Sin Cara being thrown to this, but it's just kind of the symptoms of Neville being hurt. I would prefer that be Tyler Breeze, but when you leave a show early, you don't get booked in WrestleMania matches.
No,
and I prefer it was Damian Sandow over Zack Ryder. I prefer there's a lot of things I would prefer, but it, you know what this gets down to, and to me this is the problem, one of the big problems with the WWE. This is something I kind of appreciate about the WWE, and I'll say this, and then I'll let you guys give me your take on this, because one of you at least will have a fresh one, and the other one will have a stick boy one. But these. One of the things that I appreciate about WWE is WWE does do their best to get everybody on WrestleMania, and that's good because it's the biggest payday of the year for these guys, and they're gonna have a $12 million house. So regardless of what's going on with the network and everything like that, there's gonna be a good payday for the boys, and that's great. But the problem is, in doing so, you're cannibalizing the actual quality of the event by putting in all these different guys. So we'd be better off having a one-on-one match, and instead of having a battle royal with a bunch of jobbers and a bunch of mid-carders in your IC belt and all these divas now, 10 women divas, and this, who knows if they're going to have, I don't know if it's going to be, two teams, Usos versus the Dudleys, or if you're going to have Golden Truth in there as well. Either way, you're cannibalizing the actual quality of your most important event of the year in order to get these guys a payday. And so I'm kind of torn between the two, but ultimately you got to do what's best for business. And there's got to be another way to get these guys a payday or get them something without actually hurting the event like they're doing.
Well, what I had heard as far as Zack Ryder goes is this was always in the plans. They had planned to give Zack one more big push. Hunter and Vince have both been very impressed with him just kind of keeping his head down and grinding away and just kind of putting the best face forward, and that he was going to be rewarded. Sin Cara was the one that was rewarded with the Neville spot. He was just going to be in the Battle Royal. I would agree with the plunder of the Battle Royal. We don't need to talk about Joel and I, the last time we talked about this off air with the Andre Battle Royal. I can't even think of 20 other guys that can go in that, but we're not going to talk about it. It's a waste of time. And I want to get your thoughts on this, Joel.
Well, I to Mo's point, I think that when I look at this, these multi matches, I don't know if I feel like it does and it doesn't hurt the show. If it's done right, I think you're showcasing certain people off, because WrestleMania is that time for people to kind of steal the show,
get everyone on the show, you know.
Yeah, but I do agree that some of these matches are a little pointless, I'm not surprised that they have a Total Divas type match, because they kind of need to pump up Total Divas. They need to kind of keep showing that, especially with the rumors of the Bellas being gone, They kind of need to get as much money out of that as possible.
Oh, those aren't rumors. Brie is retiring.
Oh, yeah. Brie is retiring. We don't know about Nikki.
Yeah, but the next stuff, I've heard that she had a little bit of a setback.
Okay. So then, yeah, she
had a snap a few days ago, and on the snap, she was kind of sad because she had been able to work out before. She was snapping herself, being able to work out with the brace, and she's had a setback, and she hasn't been able to work out as much. So she's had a little bit of a setback.
Oh, geez. Okay, so then, yeah, that definitely... So now you got to more or less get as much money out of the Total Divas. You've invested in a lot into it, so might as well try to reap the benefits of it. Mm-hmm. I mean, Lana Wrestling, that's going to be interesting. And I think it's probably good to have...
Well, she's well hidden in a match of this type, yeah, though.
For sure. I think Paige is going to do... Paige and... I don't know, who's the best wrestler on the other side? Summer Rae or Trinity?
Trinity, probably. I'd probably go with Trinity.
Naomi, whatever her name is.
Yeah.
Get the Total Diva names mixed up. But Summer Rae has impressed me. She's been a little bit better. And her and Paige had good chemistry down in NXT, so maybe they'll... But it probably would be Naomi, though.
Yeah. I just kind of look at it as kind of like, I think that the ladder match should be for the U.S. title. Why does Ryback have a singles match?
I think because you want to do that David versus Goliath match. I think it's out of the matches. I'm looking forward more to that Divas tag than the Ryback and Kalisto, to be honest. Can you agree with me on that, Mo?
You know what? Ryback, like, he works his ass off. Like, he really does. Like, there's no question. He wants to improve. He
and
loves
as many
wrestling.
People as possible.
Yeah, well, there's that. He wants to improve. He wants to be a champion. He loves wrestling. He's loved it since he was a little kid. He's just no good though. Yeah. And you know, it's like, and he's he represents something that is of a bygone era. He might be able to base well for Kalisto and do some of the moves, but again, is it making best use of either one of these guys? Probably not.
I feel like Kalisto would benefit more in that ladder match, because the ladder match is ultimately...
That's what made him, man.
Yeah.
With the Cerrado Soap. Yeah.
I think that a spot fest like the ladder match, like, you look at some of the guys that are there, and I think they can do some decent spots on there, but I feel like they don't have... But then again, God only knows what KO and Sammy's going to do to each other on that ladder, so...
Yeah, that will be. I mean, the moves that we're gonna see from KO in that are Sammy. Sammy's gonna do something crazy. Sin Cara, how bad will Sin Cara botch something? Because he already did it again on SmackDown today. He had a move and Sin Cara botched it again.
It's like, the mask. It's got to be the mask. Because it doesn't matter who's underneath there.
No, it doesn't matter who. Like, it's who is the wrestler that's underneath it now that was on the bike? What was his name?
Unico.
Unico. He's just not good, man. I agree with you. I'd rather would have seen Sandow or Tyler Breeze in that position, and Tyler Breeze got jobbed out on SmackDown today, so I don't know what's going on with him, except I have heard there's a lot of heat on him for leaving that event early. And Sandow, I couldn't tell you what happened to him.
Well, it's funny you mentioned Sandow, because the Edge and Christian show, they edited out their...
I saw that.
Yeah, they did a burial segment of guys that got buried, like Hurricane Trips blew RVD away.
That was stupid to have RVD in there. Who cares?
It was Ziggler got lost in Stanford, and they edited out Sandow.
But they put Hogan and the Money in there.
Yeah.
Which I'm sure we'll get to.
It just seems like they want to brush Sandow as far away. They don't want to have any real acknowledgement that he exists, and it seems really weird because he's a good wrestler and he's good on the mic.
Well, so the last time we saw him was Macho Mandow, which was one of the worst Randy Savage impressions of all time, which out of most impressions, Randy Savage is one of the easier ones to do.
Yeah.
Like, it's not that hard, but Curtis Axel was the one that played Hogan and he got to go on. I wish I had an answer. Maybe Sandow wins the Battle Royal. I don't know. It's probably going to be Big Beard and the Wyatts. Pick whoever. But
what was the match, actually? There was some match since then that he showed up. It might have even been the Royal Rumble. It was something like that where the crowd was just crazy.
It was the Rumble. He went crazy in the Rumble. Yeah.
It was one of
the
big... I haven't forgotten about him. And you know what? It shows, though, that there is, like, the... Nothing, right? Like, he gets a reaction, nothing. So, I mean, they don't listen to that stuff at all.
And that's a guy that put his head down, like, you talk about Zack Ryder with hard work. That's a guy that he did all those BS gimmicks for them for the longest time, and he finally got rewarded it with Mizdow, and then after that, like it's crazy. I'll let you take this, Joe, and then Yumo. But this time last year, Sandow was like the hottest, one of the hottest baby faces going in, and you cared about the battle royal just because of what was going to happen between him and Miz.
Yeah, you're absolutely, like, if we rewind the clocks and go back to our podcast, we were talking about our excitement to see Sandow and what he was going to do with the Miz, and he's going to finally eliminate him, or they were going to have this big blow off, and all it was Miz, Sandow dropping out to Miz.
Mm-hmm.
And now, is Miz in the ladder match for the IC title?
Yeah, he sure is. I just couldn't remember. Miz has been good these last few months. He's been a solid worker. It's not what you want
from a former
champ.
But it's unfair, though, isn't it? The Miz is in there, and Dolph Ziggler. So you have a tag team, the Cleveland Cocksuckers, who are in there and willing to work together. And it's just not fair to the other guys.
Well, maybe Sammy and KO will put things aside and bring their friendship powers together.
Oh, the Montreal Carpet Munchers? Is that what we're going to call them? Is that their...
You can figure that out. You got to figure something out for Stardust and Zach, and Sin Cara is just kind of by himself then?
Yeah. He's sitting in the corner botching something.
Yeah. He just fell down a flight of stairs.
It'd be ridiculous for him to be in a tag team.
Oh, well, wait a minute.
Yeah, and that to me, like, when he came out in the all-black gear, and he sent out a tweet saying, I'm hidden in the shadows, or I'm hiding in the shadows, waiting to strike. It was something like that in Spanish. So it seemed like they were building to him turning on Kalisto, which made me think, okay, maybe we're going to get the multi-U.S. title match, because then, and then they completely dropped it, and they're like, oh, well, we're just going to have you go here and have fun.
Well, they had him on SmackDown today, and Kalisto, like, came out, and he's like, we're both in big matches, and all he was saying was, like, see, never say anything else. I know, like, English is second language, but I'm sure Sin Cara can say more than see.
Yeah, it just seems like WWE's easy way of going, okay, you're just going to say see, and that's it.
I think we spent enough time.
Are you saying that they don't know how to write for minority characters?
No, they know. They're perfectly fine writing for
them. Don't say that. That would be false.
I mean, Booker T, WrestleMania, he should have won, right? Well, wait a minute.
People like you.
Yep, that was a little... and then he did a shampoo commercial.
Did he?
Japanese people.
You don't remember that, Joe?
What's up with your raggedy hair?
Booker T and Edge fought over a shampoo commercial at, what was that, WrestleMania 18, 19?
I believe that was 18 in Toronto. And yeah. If you actually look at the match, there's a guy who holds up a sign during it that says, they're fighting over a shampoo commercial. And it's like the funniest thing.
So not even a North American one. A Japanese one.
A Japanese one.
Holy crayon.
Come on, Joel. Catch up. You're supposed to know everything.
I'll work on it.
That's me.
Booker T also faced Boogeyman at a WrestleMania.
And jobbed out to him in 5 minutes.
Yep. He was in a few Money in the Bank ladder matches. Booker T never really had a WrestleMania moment.
No,
he never did. He never did. The closest would have been the match against Hunter at WrestleMania 19, which at least was a pretty decent match. The truth was he should have won, and he was going to win. And then Hunter, get this, played politics.
Really?
And last minute... Yeah, I know Joel is particularly shocked by this. Last minute got the decision changed.
Hey, we'll always have Sucky Ducky Quack Quack.
Oh, I love that.
Well, let's
move on. Yeah, let's move on to another match. This match I'm actually really interested in just because we all have different opinions on it, and they've done something to SmackDown. I think I can predict the way they're going with this, but I'll get into that in a second. The Divas, not the Divas, scratch that. The Women's Championship match.
Thanks.
I'm actually really excited for this match just because I think there's a lot of pressure on these women to have one of the best matches. I think they're going to get a lot of time. I've heard Meltzer say they're going to get up to 20 minutes possibly. I think they're going to tear the house down. And I think the interesting thing about the three of us in this is that we all have a different pick for this match.
Yeah. I kind of look at this and I kind of go, I always look at... I think I want to go with Becky because I just feel like the build's been there a little bit longer for Becky. And maybe it'll be a little payoff finally for all her hard work. She never won the title in NXT. So nope. There's a possibility that they could put the title because they like to kind of swerve us at times and pull the rug from under our feet. So they could probably put the title on Becky, and it wouldn't be shocking. But as far as I'm concerned, any of these women win the match, I'm good with. I think this is going to be a really good match. And if this is on our excitement scale of 1 to 10, this is probably in the 7 and 8 range of excitement, because I think all three of them can go in the ring, especially for sure. Sasha Banks.
This is about a 9 for me. And I like what they did on SmackDown tonight, too, where I was a little shocked they had Sasha versus Charlotte, but they had Sasha win, and I think what they're going to do on Raw is they're going to have Becky beat Charlotte, and they're going to have the two of them beat them going into it, so they can show that they both have the ability to beat Charlotte. I'm leaning a little bit, wondering if they do that, if it is Charlotte ultimately keeping the title, but I'm staying with my prediction that Sasha wins, and the next night Bayley comes out. Mo?
Well, I would give this probably an 8 out of 10, and it's not for really the build. I mean, no. The build hasn't been so bad. It's not great either. Like, it's you're asking a lot of them to talk a lot because you can't have them keep on wrestling each other exclusively leading into the match. When they talk too much, it kind of exposes that that's still somewhat of a weakness for a couple of them. I think Becky's the best promo of the three right now. I think she's got a really natural quality. I think the thing about it is I don't feel like they look at Becky and see her as championship material. Kind of like a Dean Ambrose is right now, or like some people have been in the past, just that person who always seems to fall short and they never... Natty is a good example. She had like one title run years ago and she's been great for forever, you know? And it wasn't even a long title run. That was like 6-7 years ago or something like that, right? And so I just see Becky Lynch as being somebody they're probably not going to do that with. And Sasha, she was hotter about 3 months ago before she was put in the titles picture. She was hotter. The crowd was chanting for her. When's the last time the crowd chanted in that same way for her as they were 3 months ago? So I feel like she's lost momentum. So I don't think they're going to take the belt off Charlotte for that reason. But I do think this is – we've seen Hunter and Stephanie actually. They're a day of the show. They're kind of running the show. And I'm not talking about booking the finishes so much, but match order and match length and that type of thing. The last few WrestleManias they've done, and they've done a good job with that. Mm-hmm. And that's good for these girls because Hunter is going to give them time.
For sure.
And I think this has a potentially really good match. So the excitement is knowing what they did in NXT, that three-way they had in NXT at that TakeOver being fantastic. And I think they'll live up to the pressure too. So I'm looking forward to this, but yeah, I just don't feel like is this the time to take the belt off Charlotte? Are you doing it just to do a title change at WrestleMania? Is that a good enough reason? All these things to me say no, no, no. So she'll retain, I believe.
You make actually very solid points. I can't disagree.
Of course I do.
Especially with what they've been doing, what they did on SmackDown tonight, having Sasha beat her, and I'm assuming Becky will beat her on Raw. That would set up her to be a vulnerable champion, only to retain it. And maybe, you never know, I hate to be morbid, every WrestleMania now could be Flair's last, so maybe to have that daddy-daughter moment with her and Flair would be really nice as well.
Yeah. Yeah, it could be.
I still think that Bayley's coming on the next night, though. So whether that's Bayley or Charlotte.
That will depend largely on the... I mean, we'll kind of have an idea of whether or not she's coming based on the TakeOver event that's happening on the Friday night, I think, if she retains the belt against Asuka. And I have to admit, as much as I'm looking forward to this, an 8 out of 10, I'm looking forward to that one like a 9.5 out of 10.
Oh, my God, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know? I mean, maybe we should run down that card afterwards, and I'll tell you how much I'm looking forward to each one of those matches out of 10. And I think the lowest match is like a 9 out of 10.
Well, I think the lowest match in there is probably the Drifter versus Apollo Crews, which is about a 3 for me because I don't understand the Drifter. And
he looks just like Randy Savage. That's the crazy. Like, he looks like Randy Savage.
He does.
But he wrestles easy. Like Eugene.
Yes. And the gimmick is death.
I've never really talked to you about this, obviously, Mo. But I'm not a big fan of Apollo Crews. I think he has a lot of work to do.
I agree with that, and you know what? But keep in mind, he's what, like 22?
Yeah,
and,
for sure.
I mean, he was wrestling in Dragon Gate and that type of thing, so he wasn't really wrestling in front of a camera. Like, it's a different thing for the camera.
For
his promos
totally.
Need a lot of work, and his style needs to – he's got that indie style that he needs to
– Better finishers needed, too.
Better finisher, but he has potential, and he's young still.
For sure.
Yeah, I just think it's like – just – hopefully Vince McMahon doesn't see him, because Vince might look at him and go, oh, that's money, pal, and bring him up to, you know, sir.
All right.
That would be the last thing they need to do right now.
I need to get to a subject that is probably going to get me and Mo going head-to-head. Let's just do this. Let's get it. We've been going head-to-head on this on Twitter. Two words. Let's do this. Shane McMahon.
Oh, shit.
Well, I'll throw my thought in.
Yeah, go first, Joel, because this is gonna be heavy hitting between me and Mo.
The segment on Raw was
that. I mean, it's true, but no. Go ahead, sorry, Joel.
I would never.
The segment on Raw was meh. It felt very flat. The suddenly introducing the Undertaker's last WrestleMania. It was just kind of like, this just feels like this is either setting up to guarantee a Taker win, or guarantee that this is Taker's last run. The biggest line from that whole thing is Shane is the best opponent, the most best opponent for the Undertaker. I don't understand that, because
the most dangerous opponent he's ever faced, or whatever the hell
he's
it was.
He's the best opponent because half our roster is hurt.
I'm the more I kind of see and hear things, I'm kind of like, I'm slowly kind of backing away from this program. I'm hoping that this program introduced something that's bulletproof.
But we'll see, but I've actually heard that may not be happening now, Joel.
Yeah, I'm not too surprised.
There may be some bulletproof in NXT before it gets there all the way to SummerSlam.
Oh, I'm a little sad. So I have heard Cena really wants to be involved in this match and screw Undertaker over and build a match for either SummerSlam or next year's WrestleMania.
Yeah.
But how do you kind of... I guess the workaround of this is Shane's in power, then he can just rehire the Undertaker for whatever strange reason.
Well, would you bring Cena out?
But if you do that, nothing matters then if you do that. You can't do that. That's the problem here. Like, and this is, and I know it's not my turn, but
no, go ahead, man.
No, that's the thing, is why does Shane even want power if he gets Raw and he still can't book the Undertaker at WrestleMania because he only gets Raw? Like, if you haven't got control out of these special events and all this other stuff, like, there's so many logic holes in this thing.
WWE and Raw.
Well, Raw goes through, or WWE goes through Raw, but like, if you sat down and you wrote down all the holes in this thing, like, you could, I mean, that, let's put it this way, if you were to build a wall between America and Mexico, but you wanted to let everybody in, there would be enough holes in that wall from this storyline, is that's making any sense that everybody could cross the border. It's incredible.
It is, and I kind of look at the more they kind of start going. I think if Undertaker had come out the following week when Shane came back and said, well, you have to do this because if you lose this match, this is your, I think that would have been a good way to kind of kick it off. Cause then
what's in the lockbox, guys? Remember that? Cause they don't.
They're saving it.
No, they're not, because they're not mentioning it. They forgot it.
They're very much kind of like, I feel like Shane is still getting a reaction, but it's starting to taper off. And I think it's part. I think there's still some interest in Shane, but I think his promos and some of the punches he's thrown has really kind of. And can you really expect hardcore wrestling fans to go against the Undertaker at this point?
Hey, we got a Gracie on Raw. I never thought I'd see that. That was cool. Right? That was cool, right?
Is that the one that that Eve Torres is married to?
I believe so.
Yeah.
Still, got a Gracie on Raw. Didn't see you guys ever see that.
Well, right? If Shane had his way, it would have happened years ago.
And if you listen to Chris Jericho, he said main event about 30,000 damn times. Main event, main event, main event. So,
oh, it is.
Yeah, I mean, look, the build-up to this has been dog shit. It's not been great. I'll be the first to admit that. The Shane pop, I thought it was great. I still think that, you know, if you listen to the guys on ESPN, the wrestling podcast, they said this is the bigger pop than CM Punk or Kurt were getting their return, I think is maybe Kurt.
I'm sorry, that might be a little strong, but come on.
Maybe
CM Punk would get higher than anybody.
Oh yeah, Punk would be ridiculous. I can maybe give you Kurt, probably not. But there's no chance in hell they would get a bigger. That Punk's would not be bigger. I'm sorry, it just would. It'd be ridiculous. It'd be crazy. But that's not the point of this. The problem with this is, I'll admit, I was excited when he came on as a basketball fan and a sneakerhead. I was super hyped to see him with those Jordans on. All the combination of everything was really cool. And I've always been a fan of Shane McMahon, and I've watched back some matches with some buddies lately, and it's been exciting. But then you see him cut a promo, and he's really bad. And then you see him throw punches, and they're really bad. And it gets you less and less exciting to see a 46-year-old man dance around. And I have been worn down, Mo.
I thought we were supposed to disagree on
that. We were, but I've been worn down.
What are you doing? Where's the fight?
The fight is, this is the fight. I still think that's the build. The build is garbage. The promo on Raw is a very big promo for Shane. Arguably the biggest promo in his entire career. But going to the match, I still think the match with all the plunder and the Shane stunts, I think it's going to be exciting.
Look, he's 46, 47, I think, actually, by the time Mania rolls around.
Jumping off the Titantron. Jerry Jones is going to throw him off and say there's no CTE.
There is. It's amazing because, you know, this guy never would have had any sort of and he must have had concussions. I mean, I actually don't really like his matches to begin with.
Fair enough.
And a lot of that is because they are stunts like this or – like, my entire life, the two most uncomfortable matches I've ever seen, right, I just didn't want to watch it. And I felt bad, like, I felt dirty about being a wrestling fan, were the Hell in a Cell with Mick Foley and Undertaker, and even more so that King of the Ring match. Like, yeah. that was, I was just like, stop this. This isn't fun to watch somebody have this happen to them. This isn't entertaining anymore. You know, I did not like that. And he'll go through incredible stuff. I know he will, but he's older. He's also carrying a lot of body weight for his frame. Uh-huh. And I think he's going to blow up pretty damn quick.
He's got three kids to think about, too, you know?
You got three kids to think about. And you're inside the hell and the cell, which is a bigger structure than it used to be. This is not the same
cell.
Well,
that's cell what Edge, remember Edge was saying? Edge was saying there was that SummerSlam match he had against Taker, and he wanted to jump off it, and then he went out there and was like, nope.
No. It's a bigger structure than what Foley went off of. They made it bigger, and they made it bigger specifically so people couldn't do that type of shit anymore. Mm-hmm. And I mean, will the crowd pop for the Mean Street Posse? Sure. Does that?
They're not really, coming out. I refuse to believe this.
Does that really make this a good match? No, and I hope they don't come out either.
I think Cena will come out because there's no way Cena's missing WrestleMania. Joel and I talked about this. He's been at what, Joel? 10 or 11 straight?
12.
12. There's no way Cena is not being involved in WrestleMania. It's somehow.
But again, that doesn't even. Like, I know what you mean. Like, you're right. He probably will be there, but.
I know again, what you're saying too. Yeah.
Him coming out and it's like, so you already have a baby face and against a baby face, you know, and Undertaker, say what you will, he's still a baby face. So you can't do anything about it. And then you're gonna have the baby face John Cena come out and screw one of the baby faces. I mean. You're probably going to see Undertaker lie down.
Like, that's what I've heard, that he's going to drag Shane on top of him, which if that happens, that's not great, Bob.
Yeah.
The thing about it is, and I'll let you go in a second here, Joel, sorry, but the thing about it is, how much would that mean if he had never lost the streak? Like, and it, would it be better or worse then? Like,
oh, God, it'd be way worse. It'd be way worse if Shane ended.
Would it be? But it would mean so much.
It would. It would mean a lot.
If he sacrificed the streak for, like, now what's he sacrificing?
Mm-hmm. I guess his
legacy.
Just
a loss. I mean, Vince, as much as I love Vince McMahon, the promo he had was not effective. The old Vince could have. So I just watched the Raw before he had his match with Donald Trump, and he did great job in his promo of selling that match. He did not, in his promo, sell the idea that Taker will not be able to wrestle after this. It was kind of a in-between line that you never really heard. He did a terrible job at selling it.
Yeah.
Well, at part, he was still thrown off by the fact that people don't care when he comes out anymore.
Yeah. Oh, and probably also mad because they booed Roman, his boyfriend.
Yeah, that's true.
God damn it. Man crush. The fuck?
All right. Like we both got it. We both got to shut up. It's Joel's turn. Please, yeah. Go ahead, Joel.
I look at this, and I look at the build, and it's been crap. And I look at, you've pigeonholed yourself in a very bad situation. And I don't know if having John Cena, why does John Cena want to come out? Why does John Cena care about this? If this was done around when the Authority was removed in, what was it, 2014, 2013? That summer?
The Authority and Cena have had problems. You can kind of put that in. Like, Cena and Steph had some of those stuff with him and Seth. So you can kind of...
Why isn't Ziggler the one coming out?
I agree with you, but I mean, if you're going to have Cena come in, this is the only spot I can really see having Cena. I mean, they do a lot of things that make no sense, Mo, like having the New Day put in the Freebirds instead of the Von Erichs.
Yeah.
Nah,
we'll get to the New Day, right? I got plenty to say about that.
Yeah, me too.
The whole thing, I look at this and I go, it just doesn't, it's not adding up. They're putting numbers in and they're expecting a different result and it's just not clicking. I think the crowd is very meh on this WrestleMania. I think the injuries have impacted it because we'd have just a straight Cena Taker build. That would be it.
We'd have Seth and Hunter, which I think it would be a lot better of a build as well.
Yeah. I just look at everything that's gone on for this whole Taker feud. It's just, it's not clicking. Like you guys said, he's a babyface. Regardless of what he does, he could go out there and he could tombstone all the divas and no one would boo him. They'd probably cheer him.
And you know what? Even more so when you say if he loses, it's his last match at WrestleMania. Even more so.
Which is a loophole, though, because that's Vince saying that. If Shane's in control, Shane's going to be like, you're reinstated.
But then again, it doesn't. Like, don't get me wrong. You've already killed every stipulation.
What about this? There's been a conspiracy theory that some people have about this match. And it helps to make it a little bit more sense that it'll end up that Shane and Vince are working together and that Vince and Shane will work together to get rid of Triple H and Stephanie, which I don't like because I don't like Stephanie as a babyface. She's too good of a heel. I guess Hunter kind of works because people like him because of NXT, sure. I don't know why he would want to screw over The Undertaker, but that's some stuff that's been floated out there this week that maybe Vince will turn on Taker and end up helping Shane.
So the higher power segment all over again?
I don't know. You and I have talked so much about this, Joel. When he came out, it was like, oh, cool, Shane's back. I'm excited. That's great. What is he going to do? And then as soon as the match got announced, everybody got quiet. Yeah. And everybody was like, I don't want that.
Yeah. There's an actual little bit of a wrinkle that I just read before the podcast. That
sure.
Apparently, they're trying to figure out who the guest referee of the big match is.
They wanted Batista, right?
They wanted Batista, but they can't have Batista because he's not happy with the company right now.
No, because of what they did to his friend Titus.
But I've heard that they want to have a special referee for this match.
Austin? Rock?
It's all been kind of Rock. Rock is very careful. Rock won't do anything to get him any heel.
Especially near Roman.
Yeah. And that was the other name that got thrown around. They want The Rock to help put over Roman, and Rock's like, no, thank you. But from what I've read, everything's a mess. They don't know how anything's going to go, and they're how many days away?
I've heard it's HBK that they wanted because the theory is he's even one more obstacle for Roman to overcome, the best friend. But then again, he would be a babyface and actually would do the right thing in the end. And kind of give the rub to Roman. So, again, I don't know, but are you telling me, are we done with the Undertaker thing? Because if we ever give our out of 10?
Oh, yeah, we should give our out of 10.
Let's give an out of 10 for that.
I started off, 2 weeks ago, I was about a 7. At that, I'm down to it. I think the match will be fun. We have a lot of non-wrestling fans watching this with us, Mo. For them, I think it's going to be like an 8 or a 9. I think they're going to have a great time. They don't know any better. For us that know a little bit better, I'm at like a 3 or 4.
I'm probably sitting at about a 5. I think Shane will do something stupid. I think Undertaker, just anytime I get to see The Undertaker wrestle, I'm happy, because you don't know when it's going to just stop and dry up and you're never going to see him go again. So I think for that, I'm excited, and but I'm not excited for the shenanigans. I'm not excited for the the more we know about brain damage, the more we know about concussions.
Well, you're in Jerry's world. There's no brain damage. It doesn't exist. There's no such thing.
It's so stupid.
There's no brain damage, and Greg Hardy did not beat up his girlfriend. He's a stand-up guy.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. He's a saint. You know what? There's the brain damage to Jerry Jones from having too many facelifts. It's pulled right into his head.
I thought Al Davis was crazy before he died. I was wrong.
Oh, well, no, he was.
Yeah, oh, no, he was. But, yeah, like...
He was definitely crazy.
Yeah, he was. Trust me, I'm a Raiders fan. I know well that he was crazy. It took us 6-7 years to rebound.
I think, all in all, 5 for me, mostly just because there's that love for The Undertaker. And anytime that gong hits and the lights go out, I'm always like, that's The Undertaker. This is the guy that I've been watching my whole, basically, wrestling life. So to see him here now is still like, okay, that's cool. I still hope when we go to WrestleMania that I get to see him wrestle.
Absolutely. And that was one of the reasons why I went last year, was I wanted to see him at WrestleMania. And you know what? I do know the day of the match. I think that match, Undertaker almost always has a good match at WrestleMania. And you know, I mean, there's no reason to think the match itself won't be exciting.
I think all these matches will end up being great. The build has been shit.
Yeah, exactly. And that was the case with last year's WrestleMania. The WrestleMania itself was a lot of fun. The build into it was terrible.
Like the Sting and Hunter build was terrible, but the match was fun.
But the match was a lot of fun. And I think they'll manage to make this match fun. So I'm probably at about a 5 as well. But the build itself, yeah, it's. I do think that they are... I do think they are risking... between this match and probably even more so Ambrose and Lesnar, the fans not wanting to cheer or boo one of the guys and therefore not making any noise at all.
Too many tweeners.
There's that risk. Yeah. There's that risk.
Let's move on to the World Heavyweight Championship match. Joel, is it time for 3-minute warning?
It is time. Let me get the good old timer out because... And I want to go first.
Sure. So for those
you guys, go. I'm listening to your 3 minutes. Go ahead. So
for those that aren't familiar with this, this is where we bitch about Roman Reigns for 3 minutes,
and only 3 minutes. So yeah. I'm starting right now. Go. Roman Reigns had the promo with Stephanie. It was short, sweet, and simple. He didn't come out smirk. Well, he still smirked.
He still smirks. The smirk's still gonna get referee.
It's still annoying, but this is where Roman should have been when he started off. It's not clicking. It's just not going. The crowd booed him. I just felt like that Monday Night Raw, everything was kind of muted, and they kind of were trying to muffle the crowd. I don't think Philly was as quiet as what they were made out to be, because even when things are crap, they're going to say something. And Roman got booed. And the whole Roman attacking, wouldn't Hunter have seen Roman standing outside waiting for them when he pulled up?
You know what it reminded me of? And Mo, you may remember this better than Joel. Remember the old WCW Revenge game when they have the trucker and he's like, looks up, he's like, what? And it's Sting like right in front of the truck. Yeah. It reminded me exactly of that.
I hadn't thought about that for a while. Yes, I remember
it reminded
that.
Me exactly of that. I need someone, one of our fans, to make a video of that. That'd be great.
It just, the Roman thing just, it's not clicking. He just is not the babyface I want. He's not the babyface the casual fans want. Like you've said, the only people that like Roman are the people that think I can sleep with him. And that's it.
Well, I said the girls that want to fuck him, but that works too.
Yeah, I'm keeping it clean.
Yeah, Joel, what Joel said actually includes both of you two then, isn't it?
Of course. The long hair, man. Damn.
I think I could do better.
Superman
punched. No, you couldn't. Go ahead.
Roman Reigns is a better heel, and I feel like with how much of a mess the final two matches are, the main event and this match, it just feels like it's going to be a mess at WrestleMania because they don't know what they're doing. They don't know who the special referee is. Don't think they know who's going over, and I think Hunter needs to go over because this Roman thing just isn't working.
There's more matches with Hunter, and Joel and I, you know, we've said this a million times. I don't really know where you go with Roman if he wins. And when these guys get back healthy, I think Cena takes a level over him. Randy takes a level over him. Cesaro should take a level over him. He won't, but Cesaro, you know, we always like to say Randy Savage, the green rises to the top. Yeah. I think that he can go in. Seth definitely will. And there's just guys coming
seconds.
Up. Nakamura is definitely going to jump over him. Joe can jump over him. He's just a black hole of nothingness with a long hair and his watery shit all over him and his stupid fucking smirk.
He is Sid Vicious.
He's the Dawn of Justice reviews of wrestlers.
And that's the end of our 33 minutes of complaining about Roman. It probably could go 30 minutes, but I just... Roman Reigns is Sid Vicious. He will be...
No, because people like Sid Vicious a little bit. When I was a little kid, I kind of liked Sid Vicious.
Sid Vicious had a lot more charisma.
He really was the master rule of the world, and he said, fuck on a promo, and he messed up a promo, and Mean Gene's like, we're live, pal. Like, at least Psycho Sid had stuff. There's nothing this guy has. He has nothing.
I gotta say, I can't believe this. I'm defending Roman Reigns.
Oh my God.
Yeah, but I mean, I think you guys are hard on Roman. I think you guys are being too hard on Roman Reigns. It's not his fault the booking has been horrible.
It's not his fault
that he's been miscast. Yeah. He's done everything asked of him. He is a talented guy. His matches are pretty decent.
Sure.
He's got a good presence. He doesn't have a good promo, but he was booked properly on Raw. He's booked properly on SmackDown as well in his match against Bubba Ray here. I don't think it's him so much as them. I'm not saying he should be the top guy or he's the next Steve Austin or anything like that, but he's not as bad as you guys are making him out to be. What it is it doesn't help that he's going against a guy whose job in Triple H is Triple H doesn't know what his job is here, because his job is to put him over as a baby face. And Triple H instead is not being a good heel. He never cheats to win. He never cheats at all during his matches. He wins everything clean. In the middle with his finisher, he interacts with the crowd. He backs down from nobody. He doesn't sell beatings. He's a very ineffective heel.
I think that's fair. I think the thing is though, a lot of people like Hunter because of NXT, and I think a lot of people don't like Roman because he's part of their throats. That helps.
Well, the shove down their throats thing, but that's part of it though. I mean, and again, he's a legend also in DX and all this stuff. I agree, he's shoved down his throats, but if the guy he's facing, when Seth Rollins was a heel, I was always saying this back when, and I don't know if you guys were listening, probably not then, because you guys probably started listening to We Talk Wrestling when you came on the network.
Oh, I've been listening since back in the day, man. What are you talking about? You guys in live audio wrestling, the top of my podcast listening.
Oh, thanks for comparing us to them. Yeah, and Seth Rollins was portrayed as a chicken shit heel the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
And I kept on going, this is not going to get him over. He's losing 12 out of 15 matches in a row on television, you know, and he's always backing down and he never wins clean. He's always having people help him. And he needs to be established before you can get away with that. And I said, if you had had Hunter back in the day, or even Hunter now, and they said to him, this is how we're going to book you as a champion, he'd say, fuck you. I'm going to go over clean. And that's what we're getting. Everything that they could do with him what they did with Seth Rollins, it would be effective because he's at that legend status where it's not going to really hurt him so much.
Sure.
Instead, he's the badass, and he thinks by being the badass that gets beat is putting over Reigns. But Reigns doesn't need to be put over as being good in the ring. Reigns needs to be put over as a baby face. And when you're a heel that doesn't get any heel heat, and he doesn't get any heel heat, and he doesn't try and get any heel heat, then you're not doing your job. Hunter is too busy looking after himself, and he's not even doing it trying to ruin Roman. He's trying to just protect himself because he has too high an opinion of himself.
I would say this, and then I'll let Joel go, and then you go back. I think you're making all the right points, but the thing is, it's not just this promo with Roman. It's everything he's done. every program he's been in, even going back to the Bray stuff and the Randy stuff, he's been getting booed. And I agree with you. He's a tremendous athlete. His promos do need work. He's done all the right things that they've told him to do, but the fans don't take to him because he's missing a lot of those things. They want him to have the it factor, but he just doesn't have the it factor. He can't take the football and run with it. He hasn't shown that ability. You can have all the physical gifts you want, but you have to be able to get over the goal line, and he hasn't had that ability in any program that he's had, no matter who it's with.
I think the only...
Name me one, though. Name me one. Sorry, Joel, but name me one where he was booked well.
The Bray Wyatt one, he was booked fairly well, and he couldn't do anything to get himself over that. The one with the Big Show, he took out the Big Show. He did good in that.
He lost to the Big Show clean first.
But he had that last man standing match where he looked great and he did all the right things, but the fans still booed him. He had the match with Randy Orton. Fans still booed him. He was good in the Shield when he was nice and contained and kept separate, but
he still. But the thing is, what you're talking about, and I'm feel like I'm not being fair to Joel here, but what you're talking about, though, he already had the stink of what they did with him and Daniel Bryan on him. So I mean, of course, he's getting booed against Randy Orton because they already have what they did wrong.
The Randy stuff was before Bryan.
Mm.
Like right out the Shield, he was getting booed. Joel,
you're right. He was. Yeah. You're right. Yeah.
Joel,
but
the one time Roman was really over was when Batista and him were the last two in the ring.
That was when Philadelphia was Sheamus.
Yeah,
he was over then. I will give you that.
And that was the other point I was going to make. He was over with Sheamus and the beating on Hunter and punching Vince. That whole little bit, for the most part, worked for Roman. And then I think the biggest thing, and I do agree with Mo's point. I think for me, this is a 50-50. I think this is 50% creative, 50% Roman. Mm. I think that when you have Roman doing certain things, saying like suffering succotash, there's only a handful of guys that could make that work.
Yep.
And when you have Roman trying to get certain things over, and even when you start to deviate back to this badass heel, babyface, sorry, that beats people up, like takes a computer TV monitor and bashes Hunter in the back with it.
He had glass shards in his back.
Yeah. There's just something, I think a lot of fans now, the most popular thing to do right now is boo Roman. So a lot of people are jumping on that bandwagon, just booing Roman. I think that there have been mismanagement with Roman Reigns. I think Roman needs that Rock turn. Because if we go back and rewind the clocks, Rocky Maivia was getting booed out of the arena, die Rocky, die. And then they turned him heel, just when people were starting to gravitate towards the Rock. And it worked. I think a heel turn for Roman would benefit him. I don't think he is the next face of the company. I think we know who the next face of the company is, and he currently resides in NXT. But we'll get to that later.
I will say this really too, Joel, is you talk about the habit of boo thing. I kind of look at something that Vince Carter recently said in a recent trip to Toronto, where he said, and I think Tim McAuliffe was saying this too on the Score, whatever it's called now, Sportsnet 1. He was saying, a lot of Raptor fans boo Vince Carter when he comes back, but it's not that they hate him. It's just, that's what you do when Vince Carter comes to Toronto now. You boo him, and then you're just used to doing that. I'm sure it's different with some Flames fans. They're going to boo Dion Phaneuf. Some still hate him, but it's just a force of habit. You see Dion Phaneuf, you're going to boo him. And I think it's the same with Roman Reigns now. It's, Roman Reigns is out. We boo him. This is what we do.
Again, I was there last year at WrestleMania, and you had John Cena defending the pride of the nation, the U.S., against the hated Russian heel, Rusev. And I'm watching this, and they're booing the hell out of Cena during this match. They're chanting, John Cena sucks, which was great. John Cena sucks. The next day, I'm going to Raw. I'm going to go off on an aside. So we're down there, we're outside, and we're lined up to go to the Raw. And I'm walking down, and I'm sitting there, and I go, John Cena sucks. I tried to get the crowd in the line to sing it before the show. Mm-hmm. And you hear this little kid behind me goes, no, he doesn't. He's lying. I thought that was the best. Nobody would chant it with me, but they were great when they got in there. But, yeah, I mean, John Cena wins, and he holds up the – belt, and we're taking pictures of the match, and Addie on the phone, and he shows me, and it's this girl like two rows in front of us, and she was American. I know she was American because I'd heard her cheering during the match and talking, and I don't think she could spell very well. So I knew she was do we have American listeners on your show?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I meant...
we have an American co-host on the basketball podcast from Miami.
Yeah?
Yeah. It's okay. Don't worry about it. They're used to it.
Oh, what I was saying, what I meant though was Americans are stupid. That's all I was saying.
Yeah, and, you know.
Donald Trump.
Anyway, so he shows me this picture, and it's this girl holding up two middle fingers at John Cena as he holds up the U.S. belt triumphant. And it comes back to what you talk about. It's just the thing to do now.
Yeah, they just know by habit. I like John Cena, actually. I think he's proven himself with that U.S. title reign and how great he is. I actually miss him on Raw. I can't believe I've ever said that. He won me over. But if I went to
Raw... That was the best segment every week on the show.
For sure. But if I went to Raw, I'd boo the living hell out of John Cena.
Of course you would. And I did too at WrestleMania. But that was the thing. It's like, there wasn't one reason to boo him over. At this point, he was pulled down the card, so he wasn't being shoved down your throat anymore. He's facing a hated Russian heel. Yeah. There was no reason for people to be booing him. They still would. It's just the thing to do. And I think Joel is right. And when he said, or was it Joel, or which one were you said that? I can't remember now. But it was. So I'll give Joel credit though, because I refuse to give you any, Josh. No. Joel, it's your turn to tell Joel how he's wrong about stuff.
Joe's always wrong about stuff.
I know. I accept it.
Or tell Josh how he's wrong about stuff. Just don't try to say...
I'm never wrong about stuff.
No.
Always right.
Well, I do disagree with Josh on some things, for sure.
I was wrong about Shane McMahon, for the most part. Yeah. I will firmly admit that. I was way more positive about it.
It was a great moment, but it's funny. You're talking about... I'm giving it a 5. Joel's giving that a 5. You're giving it a 3. If this was a Kurt Angle facing him, is there any way we'd be going, I'm a 9 out of 10?
Oh,
there's nothing they could do to make it any less than a 9 out of 10 for that match.
I think it's kind of... I put things in such a high arc, and when they disappoint, it throws me down. It's kind of... Even though I haven't seen the movie yet, what I'm going through with these Dawn of Justice reviews, since being a DC fan, I have it so high. And then seeing the fans reviews like, yay! And the negative reviews are like, bleh. I was like, oh god, the expectations go so much lower. And it's kind of the way with Shane McMahon. Like, some fans are still like, yay! And critics are like, eh. And now my expectations have dropped all the way down.
I like, looking at Roman Reigns, because we'll go back to Roman, and this whole build... I just kind of look, I look at everything and I go, it's a good thing that this is not the main event because Roman's gonna win. I think that's 100% written. No, I'd say about 80% written. I think that Roman goes over. Roman's gonna get booed because that's the thing to do. And then, like Josh said, where does he go next? What programs next for Roman that helps him? Mo, what would you think?
There is nothing. That's a big deal. They talk about Bray Wyatt again or something like that.
Although he came out facing Brock today.
There's nothing. Their heel side is so weak. The best thing they can do is do a double turn of some sort on this. I could see that happening.
What about Dean?
Dean turning on him?
I don't know. That's the thing. Like, I just don't know.
No matter what, is it doesn't matter who turns on who. Come the day of the match, the fans are cheering for Dean Ambrose.
For sure. Do you maybe have? I these are hypotheticals. Do you maybe have Cesaro come back after the WrestleMania after Cesaro or Samoa Joe and lead into that maybe?
No, I think you got to turn Reigns. I really think you do.
Oh, that's what I would agree with. I think Joel made the best point that it's a Rocky Maivia thing, right? The fans didn't take him as Rocky, and then Rocky died chance, and then they turned him heel, and then they wanted him to come back. And I think that's the best way to go with it.
The Rock is better than him.
For sure.
The Rock is a lot more charismatic and a lot more engaging personality. I don't know if you turn Reigns that you ever are successfully turn him back. And I don't think you need to either
because
I think you have plenty of other guys who can fill the top baby
face. All the talent coming back too, right, Mo? With all the talent coming back and the talent in NXT with Joe, Finn, and Nakamura all coming up, like, I think he's going to kind of get left in the shuffle if he, in a way.
Well, and I still believe that they're going to turn – I still believe SmackDown's a dead brand, and they're going to turn NXT into the Tuesday night show.
So when you do the brand split, you think that's what – if they do the brand split, that's what it will be?
When I look at the logic behind this, there is no logical goddamn reason for him to say, I want Raw, unless the plan is to split them up.
Yeah, which I would hope.
But there's no reason why he wouldn't say, I want the WWE. Why would you only ask for technically 33% of the company, or even 50%, you know, which is what he's asking for? Like, it doesn't make any sense. So they have to be doing that. And I really believe that you're going to see a brand split, and I believe NXT as a brand that they believe they can make money with now, and is less.
My only thing with that is the TV deal with USA is 3 years for SmackDown, not for NXT. That's my only thing. The TV rights are for SmackDown.
The TV rights are for SmackDown. You're right. Yeah, that's true. But
I like your idea.
Is there some reason it can't be called NXT SmackDown?
I'm sure it could be, but I think they maybe, you know, what Vince thinks about NXT, maybe still want to keep that as a developmental territory. You can make it pretty much NXT and have everybody called up. Call up Austin Aries, call up Finn, Bullet
Club. How much
Bullet of
a developmental territory is it? The developmental occurs at the training facility.
I know.
The training center. That's where the developmental
They still call it, which is, I'm just calling what they call it by their corporate saying.
You have Austin Aries and Samoa Joe and Nakamura there. It's not a developmental territory.
And technically Gallows, who's been through the system.
I think Vince's views of NXT hurts it, because Vince doesn't like NXT. Vince doesn't like the fact that when we eventually get to the NXT show, that's going to be the one that we're more excited to watch.
Last year, again, going back to there, I was there when the crowd was chanting, and they didn't, and this was somehow they made this faux pas. They did not televise this, but the NXT show on the Friday night at the San Jose University, I can't remember what it was
Bailey
called.
Bailey got the biggest pop, I heard.
Yeah, she got a huge pop because she's from San Jose.
Yeah.
And then we ran into her at WrestleMania. That was amazing.
Oh, that's so cool.
It was something else. She was,
did you get a hug?
She was in, you know what, I should have, but it was weird because, like, you're sitting there watching WrestleMania, everybody's dressed up, and then she was wearing, like, the type of dress you would wear to a cocktail party. And it totally threw me off.
Yeah, it would throw me off too.
The white cocktail party dress. And I was just like, and I did go, it's Bailey. But I mean, that was about as far as I could go. But it really threw me off. What was I going to say though? But the crowd was chanting better than WrestleMania that night already. And Vince threw a fit apparently backstage over that. And it wasn't even better than WrestleMania. I mean, it was good, but WrestleMania was even better. WrestleMania was really good last year. But yeah, you're right. Like, the crowd's love of – remember how we always know this about Vince is that he doesn't like anything he doesn't create? He hasn't created NXT.
Nope.
It's created within his company, but it's not his.
Nope.
And he does not like that.
I'm actually surprised that he gave the go-ahead – I don't know if he gave the go-ahead or Hunter just warmed down so the guys like Nakamura and Austin Aries and Joe to keep their names.
I don't know how they're keeping their names either. You're right.
Maybe they switch it when they come up, but AJ kept his, so I'm assuming this is just a thing now. And
the only thing I can say about that is that they've if you look at their company history, they've been hot and cold on that. Oh, we got to name the guys.
CM Punk was the last one before the change, I believe.
Yeah, but I mean, over history, there's been guys who they let keep their names and guys they didn't, right? And it's been times when it becomes a fad.
Do you think that Bobby Roode and Eric Young will keep their names?
It's difficult to say.
Which is a little turn there. I think it's all pretty much been confirmed they're going there.
I think Bobby Roode could easily be the Rick Roode spelling and just move on.
For sure.
I don't think Eric Young's name means anything.
No, and I talked to Joel about this. I think Eric Young can very well go to NXT, but I don't see him ever getting called up to the main roster.
Agreed.
Like, I just don't see... He's enough of that guy to be there. And in TNA, he was fine. He had his moments in TNA. I guess he's been more of a serious competitor the later run of TNA. I've stopped watching TNA the last 4 years. I don't know about you, Mo.
Last two I've given
yeah,
up.
Yeah, so he wasn't really a serious competitor for me. Joel, what are your thoughts on them?
Well, I think Bobby Roode's someone that Vince has wanted for a while, so... And I'm not surprised. I think they will pick them up. I think NXT is one of the hottest places to be for people that don't want to travel overseas. I think Eric Young could make a good trainer or someone kind of off to the side and work these occasional shows. I think James Storm looks like a little bit of an idiot right now because his partner's gone.
So, yeah, what an idiot.
So I think I think Bobby Roode has the best chance of making it to the main roster.
How old is Roode?
He's 39. He's AJ's age.
Oh, he's that old. I thought he was 37, 36.
One thing I want to sway to really quickly that I remember, we'll go off wrestling for 2 seconds, because this was a big breaking story this week. New York now has an MMA license. You can fight in New York. How big of a deal is this?
It's huge.
Oh. Yeah.
It's huge.
They are going to make so much money.
Can they sway UFC 200 to the Garden, or is it too late?
I think that's probably too late, but I don't think it matters. I mean, UFC 200 is going to do great no matter what. But I mean,
for sure, I'm just surprised it's in Vegas. Yeah. That's my only thing.
They've run Vegas a hell of a lot, but UFC 200 will do great no matter what. And then you have the MSG. It's funny, you know, you don't even need a headliner.
No.
Like you do because you want to have something great for New York, but you don't even need that crazy headliner. That show would do big business for the fact that it's in MSG. MSG and New York itself will actually be a huge draw on pay-per-view for them.
For sure.
I think that's where you have Ronda fight.
That's a very good point, Joel.
You can see that.
You have Ronda there, and then you promote the hell out of it, and like Mo said, you're going to make money regardless.
Will Punk's back be good enough by then?
Probably not.
I'm not sure we'll ever see Punk. I'm not sure we'll ever see Punk actually fight. And you know, I mean, we might see him as the commentator, and that's probably his future if he's going to stick in MMA anyways. But I'm not sure we'll ever see the fight.
Mo, I have one question, and it's got to be a simple answer. Will CM Punk ever return to WWE?
He'll be returned to be inducted in the Hall of Fame, is my guess.
Never have a match again, though?
If I was to lay odds, I'd say no.
I wonder, obviously I can't, there's two people's minds, a few people's minds in WWE that I never want to get to. One is Vince and others is Bret Hart and the others is Punk, that I just can never figure out what's going on in those minds. But I have to think that when he sees all his friends and he sees Joe and he sees AJ and he sees Austin Aries all on this roster, he has to be thinking, man, I kind of want to be there.
You know what? I think he thinks that when he sees those guys, because everybody always talks about it. What they talk about when they talk about wrestling, they miss it, is they miss the guys. They miss the locker room. They miss that camaraderie. They don't miss the business.
No,
right? They miss getting out there in front of that crowd and getting that rush, and they miss the time with the boys. And he's not going to get either one. You're right. But he's a different cat, you know? And B, he still's got to look at those guys and see, for instance, the booking of AJ Styles, you know, and go, it's too fucking frustrating.
I think AJ's has been okay. That's a good transition. I think
and that's where I was going next.
AJ's, I think it's been fine. I mean, it hasn't. I mean, in TNA, he was wearing a goddamn turkey costume, so at least at that point, right?
You can't compare anything to TNA, and you know what? Just because something is not as shitty as something else doesn't make it not shitty. I'm a big fan of the storyline. It's the two roll ups 2 weeks in a row.
I would agree with you. I'm not a fan.
But that's the first. It's like that's the first straw, you know, or that's the first step towards the stupidity that won't make him the star he should be, and that's what I think. That's how a CM Punk would look at it.
I think I look at AJ and I look at the reaction he's been getting, and I look at his merchandise sale, and both are doing very well. I think AJ's name has built up enough quality to it that I don't think people. We'll kind of look at it and kind of we'll get frustrated with it. But when AJ goes out and has a classic match against Chris Jericho, Jericho's lost a step, but I think the match is still going to be good. I think that people will see that and still go, oh, that, because AJ has to go over at WrestleMania, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Doesn't he?
Oh, yeah, he absolutely has to.
I agree that he has to.
And you know what? It's not just because we think he has to, and it's not even what the WWE thinks. It's what Chris Jericho thinks.
Yeah, that's
Chris Jericho thinks he needs. Chris Jericho would put over Fandango. He's definitely putting over AJ.
Yeah. And I think AJ getting that win, and I just think I'm not worried about AJ at all. I'm sitting there going, he'll be fine. I'm just the name that I've got the most worry for is Shinsuke. Shinsuke's got me a little.
Yeah, because like Mo said, their track record with minorities haven't been great.
I don't think they were doing a bad job with Hideo Itami, though.
It was okay. But that was Hunter and whoever their producer is. I'm worried not that much about Vince, but if I hit anyone more in the wrestling business, his name is Kevin Dunn. Who gets paid more than Vince?
Josh actually hung up on a podcast when I brought up that Kevin Dunn made more money than Vince.
The guy infuriates me.
Yeah, you and Jim Cornette both.
His producing, his
Lucky Beaver, as Cornette calls him.
Oh God, he's terrible.
It's so formulaic for Monday Night Raw these days that it's just.
Well, with the fact that we had a match, that New Day match, we're like, what?
And it was revealed it was only because they hadn't figured out what the script was for Monday Night Raw yet.
As far as the AJ Magic, we're going to.
Sorry, wait, I don't know this story. What are you guys talking about?
Oh, yeah, go ahead, Joel.
So it was last week. They didn't have the script finalized for Monday Night Raw. So they were just like, okay, we'll get a match out there, and that's why we'll go with that, and then we'll figure out where we're going.
And that became the New Day match?
Yep, that's why they had a New Day match at the start of the start the show off, because they're like, well, we know what we're doing with this, so you guys go off and do that, and we'll figure out the rest of the show, because they hadn't.
Oh, crap.
The show had. I've heard.
And meanwhile, I loved it because I was like, finally, not a promo to open the show.
Yeah.
Not a 20-minute promo.
I was saying, I text Joe, I'm like, holy shit, there's no promo? What the hell?
Yeah. And it was like the beatdown angle went a little too long, but.
Yeah, but the thing with that is. The beatdown angle was fine, but the New Day came back out. We're good. Booty-os, everything. No holding our ribs. We're fine.
Nah.
Nothing.
It was like Roman smirking.
Yeah, there was no selling of it, and this is why I'm really sick of the New Day. They almost have X-Pac heat for me. Mo?
Are we going to go into what match are we talking about? Did we
give
you out of 10 for
AJ first?
Let's stick with AJ.
Sure.
AJ, to me, the two best matches, the best match of the year, or the Raw match of the year, WWE's best match of the year, was the New Day versus Styles and Jericho. I thought that was awesome.
It was a great match.
And I think this match with Owens was awesome, too, on Monday. That's probably the second best match of the year, and that shows why you should be having one-on-one matches and building them up as something. Well, and not just at a pay-per-view. You should be properly promoting and building up the matches on your own show.
For sure.
As well, but yeah, I
would just say this. My match of the year, my match of the year is still with AJ, but it's AJ and Nakamura from that.
Well, I'm talking. I said WWE match of the
year
for
sure. Yeah, okay.
If you're talking, I think that Nakamura. A lot of people love the Tanahashi Okada match, and that was good too. But to me, the Nakamura AJ match, I'm like, that was the best match since what, like WrestleMania 13? Like that, I thought was incredible.
When he shot the Bullet Club gun and Nakamura ate the bullets.
That was awesome.
Like, that was so great.
I love that match.
Yeah. That match, I'm about an 8 or 9 on that. I'm pretty excited for that. Joel?
8, 9. I know. Like, Jericho is not the same Jericho from the 2000s, but that's okay. Age does that. Mm-hmm. But I still think that Jericho is smart. And I think he knows what needs to happen in this match. And AJ's AJ Styles, so a 9 for me. I'm very excited. I think it's going to be the match of the night.
You talk about he's lost a step, and he Shawn Michaels lost a step and was still as good or better because he knew how to do everything. It's right, and I think Chris Jericho falls on the same line.
Yeah.
The thing he's pretty remarkable to me because he worked with the guys that influenced the guys he's working with now. You know, like he's that guy who's still doing the same style with a new generation. That's amazing. He's losing a step does hurt when you're talking about the matches at the pace that they're talking about. And the style that they're talking about, it hurts more than a guy like Hunter, who was never about speed anyways,
yeah.
You know, or agility. But I'm like, if it wasn't, it's just those two roll-ups. Like I say, I think that it's just, I went, you're letting him get rolled up on a distraction finish 2 weeks or 2 shows in a row on SmackDown, then Raw. That's That to me, and you're giving away Styles versus Owens in this manner, yeah, when it should be a match you can sell.
For sure.
Like it to me, that's backwards thinking. This is the problem with the company. But as far as the storyline, while it's been a little rushed, I think it's been really well done. Jericho to me is also amazing because you get a guy, and we talk about it with Hunter, like you get to a certain status. You saw it with Ric Flair. You see it with The Undertaker. You get to that status where you're that legendary status. You've been around forever, and you just can't get booed anymore. And you can try your best to be a heel, and they're still going to cheer you. Mm-hmm. And Jericho, I thought, was at that status, and he's actually managed to get people to boo him. Yes. That's how good he is. That's how so smart his psychology is. That's how he's such a tremendous performer. Yeah, I'm very into this match, at least probably an 8.5 out of 10.
I would say, too, I think you could argue AJ is the best wrestler in the world right now.
Yep.
Him, yep. His Cesaro or Seth Rollins, and all of them are on the roster. And Nakamura, obviously.
Okada
may be the best. That's not,
Leo Rush and ROH is already blowing me away. I already say he's one of the best in the world.
And Jay Lethal, probably.
Jay Lethal is tremendous.
Zack Sabre Jr.
Zack Sabre Jr. Yeah, like there's a lot of... I'd say Styles, for an overall performer, mm-hmm, to me, I think is the best. But I put some of those other guys, like Cesaro is right up there. But then it starts to get tough for me to judge right after that, you know?
Maybe Nakamura third? Okada?
I don't think Okada would definitely not put Okada.
Tanahashi? Or would you put Nakamura at the head of those Japanese guys?
The best Japanese worker? Oh, wow. I mean, I probably have more fun watching Ishii than anybody else.
Yeah.
But you know what? His not work. It's because he's actually killing himself.
Yeah.
there was a few bumps with him and Roderick Strong that were like,
holy shit. Yeah. That's frightening.
Well, let's move on to something that's just as good as watching Tanahashi and Okada. The New Day.
Crickets.
I really like the New Day gimmick when it first started, Mo, and I know Joel really likes it. So I'm gonna let you go first, Mo, then you go, Joel, and thoughts on the New Day.
Again, for me, it's not even that. Like, I don't like a team not selling a beating. Like, yeah. I hate that. I hate when people don't sell the injuries and the beatings from the pay-per-view or the week before and all that shit. I hate that. To me, because then why am I watching? Why did it occur? Why does it occur if it doesn't matter to you? Then why is it supposed to matter to me? Then why do I care when it's happening? It's every single thing in wrestling should sit there, and instead of it's like they sit there and go, we need to get this guy in the show, throw him against this guy. What it should be is, okay, what's the psychology of this segment? What's the psychology of this angle? What's the psychology of this match? What's the psychology of this storyline? What's the psychology of this promo? And you have to figure out the psychology and build backwards from that. And the New Day doesn't have good psychology here. I was super pissed off. They win. They're 3-on-2. They win at Roadblock. They're 3-on-2. They use the extra man. They win. Then the next night on Raw, they you know, a couple days later on Raw, they're 3-on-2, they win. Then they get the shit kicked out of them 4-on-3. Then you have a 1-on-1 match on Raw with Big E versus Rusev, who Big E was trying to beat when Rusev was coming up, and Rusev always beat him. And there's that storyline that you can tell. And they finally are now 4-on-3 out there, and the heels should go over on them because now that puts the baby faces into a disadvantage. Oh, they were beating them when they were 3-on-2. Now it's 4-on-3, and Big E lost, and then on SmackDown, Kofi Kingston loses to Sheamus. It's like now the numbers games have turned away from the New Day, what they've had this whole time. Now they're the baby faces. Now they're the underdogs having to overcome, and that leads into WrestleMania. Instead, Big E wins, and I'm like, what the fuck does any of this matter?
Yeah.
So there's my rant.
No, Joel? I don't disagree at all. I think this is the first time I watched a New Day segment and just thought that didn't click. Like the promo wasn't that great to begin with.
I do want Bootios.
I think that's really cool that they have that suit.
I don't. I don't want any. I don't want anything edible from the WWE.
Okay, I don't think this. I think it's an empty box.
No, I know. But I'm just saying, I don't want the idea of anything food wise from the WWE.
I want ice cream bars still.
I still want ice cream bars. That's fair.
You're gonna be waiting a few more years. I think that this New Day segment and just the New Days as baby faces, with how they're booked, like you said, Mo. I totally agree with what you said. It's smart, logical booking, but they're not doing it. And I think that's why, as a whole, this program's not clicking. I think the League of Nations has been crap since November, December.
Ugh, so much talent there. Talent, and then Sheamus.
It's that the group needs to be disbanded. The League of Nation does not work. I think, like you said, Rusev is talented, and he's a very talent. I think he could be a very good comedic character as well. We've seen
and
that.
Fucking Del Rio. What happened?
He became friends with Sheamus. That's what I think happened.
Well, it's Wade Barrett quitting the company, so he doesn't have to go on rides with him anymore. Apparently,
these guys are at the level of the Horsemen. I know because JBL told me so. I get it's every match. They lose every single match, but they said that they're good, so that means they must be good, right?
Who's the Tully?
That's WWE's creative. That's WWE booking. Don't have them actually be good. Just have somebody say they're good that we don't believe when he talks.
Listen here, that'll
make you think that they're good.
Listen here, Michael. They're like the Horsemen, Michael.
I've totally, by the way, you guys, the normal listeners to this show are probably going to be sitting back there going, geez, they're usually so damn positive, and you know, it's just usually just a good take on a positive look on Russ. This they're bitching a lot this week. What changed? It's me. Sorry, guys.
It was also Raw this week, because Joel and I had talked after, and we're like, oh, God.
We're going to take a small break. But stay tuned for a sponsor and more from Josh, Mo, and myself on the world of pro wrestling.
Booker's Barbecue and Crab Shack and Fresh Take are coming together for the ultimate March Madness experience. Get down to Booker's starting March 13th for a chance to win $500 airfare to the NBA city of your choice. With beer specials of Coors Banquet and 13 TVs showing every last shot to the buzzer, and daily podcasts from the Fresh Take, there's no better duo to feel the madness.
New Jack's a favorite here.
New Jack is a favorite. When the main way they could get me to get excited for this Dean Ambrose and Brock thing is if New Jack gives him a knife next week. I want it so bad. Come on. I want a reality show on the network of New Jack and Vince trapped in a room together with the camera.
With Teddy Hart.
No. Teddy Hart later. But first, I just want New Jack and Vince. I just want that.
Oh, tremendous.
Or just New Jack in a room by himself. I'm sure he can entertain himself somehow.
You ever see the New Jack and... it was New Jack, Iron Sheik, and Honky Tonk Man. Where they got completely loaded.
That's where the famous fucking bullshit from Iron Sheik for Bashamania came from.
And they're like pulling down their pants and stripping off their clothes, and it's unbelievable. And we decided let's watch this. And every time Honky Tonk Man says "fuck," we'll take a drink. And we had to stop like 2 minutes in.
Did he drop F-bombs more than New Jack or Shaky did?
I think he topped everybody.
Really?
He was the one who was talking about how he was drinking the Gatorade and had the vodka in there as he was drinking it, which made Adam go, he's like, yeah, I'm going to go to the movies tomorrow and steal that gimmick. I'm like,
right. Where do you go from there?
He always wanted to become a wrestler, and he wanted his wrestling name to be Ryan Coke. So that's all you need to know there.
Ryan Coke.
I didn't get it at first, but then it took me a few seconds, and I was like, bingo.
I'm surprised you got it at all, but let's move on.
I do have a degree in broadcasting.
Yeah.
I
can tell.
the New Day segment just didn't click, didn't work.
Yeah, I think we're past that now, Joel.
Yeah, League of Nation is the reason we drink. The excitement for this match is probably.
Can I tell you one thing I like about the League of Nation guys?
Sheamus?
No, but you know what I do like is that as a group, they actually seem like they get along. They seem like they got each other's back.
They really like each other.
Yeah, like when they're celebrating together, they're all smiling, they're wrapping their rounds around each other, even the top of the stage. To me, they feel like people that they – like I'm so sick and tired of the people that doesn't feel like they actually would be together. At least these guys, I look at it and go, to me, that's the one thing I like about them.
Del Rio's just like, I'm not with Zeb Coulter at least.
Yeah, exactly.
So what's your what's your guys' excitement for?
Well, this is the match I think The Rock has to be involved with, right? Because I don't know what else he would be. If he doesn't want to be near Roman, at least he can have the fun segment with New Day and just rock bottom everyone from League of Nations.
Just bury him.
Yeah. He's usually doing that with Rusev.
Rock, we don't know why Rock is there. We don't know why Austin is there yet. We don't know why HBK is there. But they're all supposed to be there. Foley, yeah. You know, I think that's a good point. I hadn't actually thought about that for a while, but you keep on hearing that like it was supposed to be a 3-on-3 match, and Meltzer has kept on going, oh, they have bigger fish to fry with this match. They have bigger fish to fry, and you keep on going, what the hell is that? This makes sense then that it would be The Rock. Yeah. And if The Rock shows up and is it part of this, then my excitement level will go up greatly. As it is right now, it's about a 4 out of 10.
Yeah. I just don't know who else would be in him. Oh, Ahmed Johnson's coming back. That's what's happening.
You do it now.
I even know that never worked.
I actually liked Ahmed Johnson. My buddy bought an Ahmed Johnson shirt off eBay and wore it to the last RAW we went to. He's also African American, and he'll take anything he can get from a decently booked African American character in wrestling.
That's where you're going to. That's not good.
No. I don't know if I'm excited. I like Barrett, I like Rusev, and I like Del Rio. So I hope for their sakes they have something good in this match.
Yeah, I agree. I think the next and final real match for WrestleMania,
Brock
Lesnar versus Dean Ambrose. I will say I enjoyed the Terry Funk and
Ambrose. But here's the thing, Joel. What is Terry Funk more known for as a weapon? A freaking branding iron.
I see, and that makes more sense because if you're going to give someone a chainsaw, I don't think he's
realistic.
Using...
You could have him have the brand and make it look like he's going to brand him. You don't have to, there's some tension.
If you're going to give him the chainsaw, at least mention Chainsaw Charlie. Like at least tie in that. Like I was like, I agree. I was expecting a branding iron. And...
He was Chainsaw Charlie for what, like six weeks?
Yeah.
Barely at all. Like it's the branding iron is what you think of with Terry Funk.
Yeah.
I don't get it.
No.
Or barbed wire at least.
Barbed wire too, yeah.
He already had that, right?
I remember that ECW pay-per-view. He's like, it's in my eye, god damn,
but
it's in my eye.
On SmackDown, when he comes out, he doesn't use the Barbie or the chainsaw.
No,
I can't remember what he used.
He used a kendo stick.
Yeah, he used a kendo stick. It's like, what? What?
He must have saw Steve Blackman. We didn't see the scene, though.
Yeah, well.
Well, like, all in all, the Dean and Brock build hasn't been terrible.
SmackDown, when they confused the fuck out of us by bringing the Wyatts out.
Yeah, that makes me a little nervous, though, for sure.
I think the Wyatts are coming out to screw Brock out, because, again, from Meltzer, Bray's apparently going to get the world title this year.
Mo?
He's their number one he's their number one heel. Him and Kevin Owens are the number one.
I guess him and
regular heels in the company. And
yep.
He's a good performer who has never won a feud. No, that's not true. He won a feud against Ambrose, but that's it though. He never wins the big match.
Well, he beat Brian at the Royal Rumble, but that's always kind of just.
And then you know what? Brian kicked the shit out of him Raw, and he never did anything to get his heat back from it, and they never even had the match, and both of them moved on, and it didn't matter.
Yeah, that's fair.
The guy, I guess he beat Ambrose, but didn't he beat Ambrose in that feud? But there was some sort of cheating or something involved.
No, he beat him straight up, but they were heating him up for Taker, right?
Oh, that's right, that's right. Yeah. And then, maybe he beat Chris Jericho, but I'm not even sure he did.
Yeah,
actually,
he beat.
I tried to blank that feud out of my mind.
I know for sure Jericho beat him at least once. I think the first match.
The first match Jericho.
But
beat
then
him.
The final Raw for Jericho, he lost to Bray.
Mm-hmm. The entrance is cool. He's got charisma. He's got a unique look. You know, his promo style is interesting, though it's gotten a little boring. But this is, he's got enough positives. He overcomes their booking to a degree, but not to the point where he can be champion. To the point where he's still not buried, but he's not a champion material.
Well, that's the thing too, because you know you have guys like obviously I think this is the year that Cena gets to 16, and you would think that Seth's going to get the title back.
Not let that fucking happen. You hear me?
Yeah. And you got to think there's going to be one unknown guy in there that gets it, maybe a Dean, maybe a Finn, maybe a Kevin Owens, maybe an AJ somewhere in there that's going to get a title reign as well. So I don't know where you fit Bray Wyatt along those along that way.
It seems very packed.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. This whole Ambrose. I mean, I guess the street fight thing actually helps it.
It does.
If it was Ambrose versus Lesnar in a match. As soon as the two of them face off and you have the one guy 6'3", 280 pounds, in MMA shorts and MMA gloves with sponsors on it, and the next guy's sitting there in a pair of jeans and a wife beater, this doesn't look like a match.
No.
At least in a street fight, it looks a little more like one.
Maybe Renee can come out. She threw down a pretty bad 450 at Total Divas. Never know.
Kidding.
Yeah. Yeah. 450 splash by Renee. Maybe no. You'll never know.
Transition careers.
I wouldn't mind her getting involved in some way with her and Dean. I think that's a good lead point. Everyone knows they're dating. I wouldn't mind that being something they use to get to Dean at one point.
You put heat on Brock, because, I mean...
He's getting interviewed by Renee and terrified.
Brock's not supposed to be the heel here.
Well, then
neither
who is?
They don't have the guts to actually book one of them as the heel. So instead, you have the two baby faces with momentum facing each other.
So
that's what you get.
Well, what you're telling me is we just spent about an hour and a half, and our three main events are all neutral?
Yeah, and that's a big part of the problem.
Yeah.
Like, again, what's my anticipation for this match? 6, probably, because I don't know that Lesnar's had what? How many matches has he had since he's come back? Like 15?
Yeah, he's getting a little bit saturated this past year. I think they need to wear him down a little bit. He's wrestled a little too much lately. He's not as special lately.
Well, he's probably had like 20 of them or something. I'd say 20 since he came back a few years ago from UFC.
I bet you
probably like 17 of them are good.
Yeah.
Like almost always, I enjoy a Brock Lesnar match. Mm-hmm. Brock Lesnar can do a squash and it's more entertaining than most people trying to go 20 minutes. You know, like, I enjoy a Lesnar match. So I'll probably enjoy this, but I also think they're booking this as a hardcore match, and we also know I don't know how hardcore they're going to be able to go, because you already have the ladder match, and you have the Hell in a Cell match, and then you have the company on their biggest show of the year. How violent are they going to want to go? I don't know. So yeah, it's. WrestleMania will be good because on this day they'll pull out all the stops, and any trick they can pull out, they'll figure out a way to do. And so they'll give us a good show, but the build into it isn't good. It's more and it's more the build coming out of it, which last year, if you recall, was unbelievably horrible. And that's more what has me worried.
That's the thing that you always have to wonder, Mo and Joel, is. Sure, you have some of these part-time guys go back, like Shane and everything. But the question they always do is they always load everything up, and Austin will be there, or Michaels will be there. They'll probably all come out on Monday night this week, and Foley, and everyone, and you get so excited. But then what happens the night after? That's the problem.
It's
what
the following the night week. After? That Raw, the Raw after WrestleMania is the funnest show of the year.
Yeah,
last
for sure.
Year, again, is there? You guys, this didn't make the air. This was the best thing. They're sitting there, and they're sitting there during a commercial break, and Jillian Garcia gets on there, and she goes, "San Jose, thank you all so much for being here and for giving us this great show and supporting us. Because you've been so terrific, we're going to be back again this August. You can get your tickets now. The pre-sale is San Jose Raw." And then the whole crowd starts chanting, "We don't live here." And she's sitting there in the ring, and she starts laughing. She was laughing so hard she wasn't out of the ring when they came back from the queue, because it was just hilarious. And that's the type of thing like that Raw the next night. That's fun, and it's the one night I don't mind a crowd taking over.
Yeah.
But after that, then you're back to trusting their creative and the guy in charge and whether or not he has a pulse on the modern wrestling fans. And there's no reason to think either one of these things will be good.
Well, that's the thing. We get so excited about Seth and Cesaro coming back and Finn coming up and Joe coming up. But, I mean, how excited are we going to be in a few months when Samoa Joe is wearing a lei and is, like,
wrestling
being, like, being a Hawaii tour guide?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going and wrestling Dolph Ziggler, even Steven.
Big Chief Samoa Joe. Like, talking like that. Like, he's, like, one of the Native Americans from Pocahontas or something, or Peter Pan. And just have a terrible gimmick. And I'm very worried about Joe with Vince McMahon. I'm terrified about it.
Vince shouldn't be left alone with anyone.
Your name is Finn, hey? You're going to throw potatoes because you're Irish.
Yes. Yes.
It's scary. We laugh, but in reality, we're kind of like, that might actually happen.
Well, yeah, that's the scary thing is even if those things aren't going to happen, things that'll piss us off and bad creative will happen. It's just because it's for the longest time, that's how it is. And that's why, I mean, and there's no question. I mean, you're leading into WrestleMania here, and every week leading into WrestleMania, your ratings are down, you know? Your viewership is down. The amount of people watching Raw is down at the one time of the year when it should be at least steady and go, if not going up, leading into your biggest show of the year. Like, you're not even holding on to. They've already decided they're going to watch WrestleMania. They don't need to see this shit leading into it. It's the attitude of people.
Let's get paused. We're talking about NXT.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Yeah, let's get positive. And you know what? I will stay positive because New Japan will be great, and the G1 isn't that far from from showing up. ROH is still a fun show. NXT is great. You know, the global cruiserweight tournament.
Yeah.
Holy crap! Like, what's my anticipation on that? I can't wait. Like, I'm a 10 out of 10, not just to watch it. Just when they start announcing the names that will be in it, we start really seeing, I'm already, marking out like mad. Like, so there is stuff that's going to keep me interested in wrestling. There's going to be great wrestling this year. It's just not going to be on the show with the most viewers.
Well, I think that depends, too, what happens with all the health, right? When Seth comes back and Cesaro and Randy and Cena and Tyson Kidd and the rest of the names all come back, how that can impact too by getting those guys back. Maybe that can help give a little bit of a bump.
Yeah, no, I think health is a big issue for this WrestleMania, but I think all in all, well,
Sin Cara has a WrestleMania match, so yes, it is.
Yeah.
Let's put it this way. What though is the reasoning for thinking that when one of those guys goes in, you're not going to just lose another guy at that same level? Because that's what's happening.
Well, of course.
Just, but the style is what it is and everything. What makes you think that they're going to get healthier? Why won't they stay just as bad, if not worse?
Yeah. Well, Luke Harper went down with an injury, so that is a good point.
That's a bummer. I like Luke Harper.
Best big man in the business.
He's really good.
Yeah.
I don't know if you went to that house show, not the recent one in Calgary, but the prior one.
No, I didn't know.
And he had a match with Cesaro. And obviously, Cesaro, sure. But yeah. Joel and I were beyond impressed by Luke Harper in that match.
Oh, he's tremendous.
He was great. He's Bruiser Brody 2.0, but God forbid if you ever mention that to Vince.
Yeah.
Who? Never heard of him.
The NXT show.
I'll put Carlos Colon in the Hall of Fame. I don't care if anyone's mad about that still. What? He may have killed Bruiser Brody, but it's okay.
Yeah, at least it wasn't his wife and kids.
Yeah.
Let's go through this NXT show.
Ten!
So Austin Aries versus Baron Corbin.
Baron Corbin.
Okay, no, 7 out of 10.
Because of Aries.
Aries is so good. And I think Corbin's improved. And this will be a better, if you're looking for a David versus Goliath match, this should be better than Sin Cara versus Kalisto.
You mean Kalisto versus Ryback?
Same thing.
I don't like Baron Corbin. I love Austin Aries though, so I'll give it a 6.
Yeah, I'd probably give it a 7.
I'm really excited for American Alpha, though, versus Dash and Dawson, though.
The Revival. That,
it's just going to be old
school. Please just call them Dash and Dawson. Please don't call them the Revival.
Yeah.
Refuse. If we don't do it, then they have to change it.
It's like a T-Rex. If you don't move, no one will ever see you.
Exactly.
But I think this is going to be an old school beat 'em up, just terrific match. I think this is the most underrated match out of everything that's been announced. That this could be one of the best matches of the entire week that people aren't talking about enough.
I'm 8.5 out of 10 for my excitement level. I think it'll be a really good match. Very good.
I'm really excited to see what they do. I think both these teams are going to be tremendous. They're going to have their A game. Chad Gable is someone that you have to keep your eye on. And Jason Jordan. Everyone in this ring right now is someone that you have to keep an eye on for. Dash and Dawson is someone that is a good tag team unit, that they get the tag team psychology. And
they remind me of the Brain Busters.
Just let them keep doing their thing. It's going to be fantastic. And I think this
to me, I gotta say, they're a good tag team. But to me, they're a good tag team on NXT. Yeah. I don't think you could move them up.
Like the Vaude Villains, like the Ascension.
Yeah.
Josh, they, you like the Ascension, don't you?
Oh, I love them so much.
I think
forgot, you know, off air, Joel and I were trying to think about people in the Andre Battle Royal. I forgot about them as people you can put in the Battle Royal.
There you go.
Totally forgot about them.
I think American Alpha goes over, and I think my excitement for this match is what? And it would probably be an 8.5.
The only way this match could get better is if they win and then Kurt Angle comes out to lift their arms up.
That would be tremendous, yeah.
That'd be great.
Then
it'd be a 10.
Is Apollo Crews versus Elias Sampson.
4 out of 10.
4 out of 10. Bret Hart would approve.
Man, 4 out of 10.
So this match is probably also a 4 out of 10 for everyone here. Sami Zayn versus this Shinsuke Nakamura.
0. I don't care about this match at all. This might not be the match of the year.
10 out of 10.
Oh, yeah.
10 out of 10. More than anything on WrestleMania.
This should be the main event, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think you're right.
I think the crowd's going to pop huge for when she...
I feel bad for anybody that follows this. I maybe put that Elias Sampson and Apollo match after this, because I don't want Bailey and Asuka to follow this, or Joe and Finn to follow this.
Well, you know what? Both of those will be great, though. I mean, this is where I don't believe in the WWE. You'll have to lift them up, then bring them down, lift them
That's
up. I look at the Tokyo Dome, and you go, those last three matches this year were all like 4.5 stars, one after another, and that was a great. And I think so. I mean, but this match should be. The only thing to me is who's going over. I mean, I think Shinsuke is going over.
Nakamura will for sure.
Yeah.
I think so.
It just makes sense. Sammy's on his way out. The old school wrestling, you're going out.
I could see Sammy. I could see Zayn losing here and then getting the IC belt.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Next night, a couple nights later.
So the next match is Bayley versus Asuka.
Asuka is going to win that. And this is a 9 for me, though. I think this is going to be a really heavy-hitting match. But I brought this point up to Joel. Has Bayley had like a really like 4-star match without Sasha Banks, Charlotte, or Becky Lynch?
It's a good point. Like
but who has she been working with? Nia Jax, is green as hell.
Eva.
Eva, yeah, I mean,
Alexa's probably been the best worker she's been with.
Yeah. Carmella, I mean, it's a good match she had with Carmella, but yeah. Not great, but yeah, I mean,
Eva one was okay. I guess she gave Eva her best match. I don't know how much.
Yeah, I mean, her performance was 5 out of 5. It's just she's working with a 1.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so
I will say about Eva Marie really quick. I think she has a personality down. She's got the personality down perfectly. I just don't know if she'll ever get it in the ring.
She has more of a personality down than say Alexis Bliss, who's just another bitchy girl.
Yep, that's totally fair. I think Eva does way more than Alexa Bliss has, and I was someone that really liked Alexa Bliss.
I liked her more in the babyface role. As the heel, she's just bitchy, and there's nothing to the personality, and there's no character development or reason. She's just somebody who's bitchy.
Eva's really good at taking that heat. I think that's the one. Her psychology is definitely present. Maybe that's working with Brian Kendrick or with Michael Hayes or Sarah Del Rey. I don't know, but she's definitely got her psychology point down at least.
Maybe, but I still think the funny thing is both she and definitely WWE still thinks that she should be a babyface, and that should never happen.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah. Oh, although I go back to Total Divas, she did make a point that she likes playing heel and that she's think that she's in the right place.
Yeah, I hope so.
Yeah, keep it there. But I think for me,
out of all the things that we were positive, it was fucking Eva Marie.
It's happened, Josh.
Oh, I'm positive about Bayley and Asuka. 9.5 out of 10, and I think the match is going to be great. And I actually think Bayley's going to retain. I don't think Bayley's coming up quite yet.
Really?
Yeah. I think Asuka wins, and I think Bayley. I'm standing by that. I think it's just the right time.
Yeah.
And it just kind of makes sense to add another wrinkle to the women's feud for the women's title.
And then we get to see Dana Brooke and Peyton Reese in the new NXT women's division.
Yay!
Yeah.
They got to sign some new
Emma and Bayley had a nice match.
They did. Actually. Yeah, they did. It was pretty good tonight. But Emma's up now as well, so Emma's gone.
Yeah.
The final match for the NXT Dallas.
You're telling me there's no Mojo Riley on this card? Why am I even watching it?
Hey, it could still happen.
Mm-hmm.
I think
you will get hyped. Finn Balor will defend his NXT title against Samoa Joe.
I can't wait to see the entrance. That's the first thing I'm going to say.
Yeah.
The London entrance was so great. I interesting to see what they do here.
Where doing the show
and the match was great in London, too.
Pardon me? They're doing this where the Stars play, right? No, it's... Or is it where the Longhorns play, Joel?
I think it's a convention center, actually.
Okay, no, it's where the Longhorns play.
I think that... I totally agree with Mo. I think what Finn does... And I think that's the next... That's a sign of someone that... And this is the guy that has that it factor that WWE needs to cash in, needs to book right, and push to the fucking moon, because it's exactly the guy that you want. I'm excited for this match because Finn's in this and he's starting to drop the coup de grace finisher.
So 1916. It's a little bit of a mouthful.
Yeah, the 1916. But I give this match excitement level a 9.
First 1916 is a Motorhead song, so I mean that all makes sense.
I'm a little lower on this just because the London match was fine. It just didn't super excite me. So I'm about an 8 on this.
I loved it.
Did you? Okay.
I'm with Mo on this one. Josh wasn't too big on the London show.
I thought it was great.
I'm right with you. I thought they did a really good job, and I think I would not be surprised based on what Josh says if the Bullet Club debuts there, Bulletproof.
Mm. I just don't want Gallows to be in NXT because that's a waste of him. He's been through the system. He knows how to do everything.
Well, I mean, and Carl Anderson doesn't need to be there either.
No, he's getting up there.
You know, Scott Dawson certainly doesn't need Carl Anderson there because they have almost the exact same look, wrestling style, and size.
Yeah.
And so it actually, don't put them in the ring together because you might not know which one's which.
What if in a dream world the WWE bought out the Young Bucks contracts and they came on the show too? How great would that be?
Well, it's just and Kenny Omega, obviously. I mean,
yeah.
That is, again, we're not going to see it right now, but someday I could see things like New Japan and WWE working together in the future because of what I've seen with NXT and where Hunter, I think, would have a more like, okay, what's best for business? What's best for the fans? What sells? What makes us money? And it doesn't need to be what it was 25, 30 years ago, like Vince thinks.
Yeah. So. That's why we need Hunter and whoever the NXT producer is to come up. But hopefully, I mean, if there is a brand split, hopefully they're the ones to take over SmackDown.
Yeah.
No Kevin Dunn. I want a whole new show on SmackDown. Please, Lord.
We'll reboot SmackDown.
I don't care who the producer is.
Just no more Kevin Dunn.
Yeah.
No more Kevin Dunn.
And Jerry Jones says CTE doesn't exist. Kevin Dunn, prime example.
That it does exist?
That it does. That it doesn't. He's brain damage.
I don't disagree. First off, he'd have to have a brain.
This is true. I stand corrected. Anything else, Joel? Topics? Oh, I mean, brother, I made $140 million, dude.
Yeah, the Hulkster, that's the highest pay a porn star's gotten ever, I think.
He's not going to get all that money, though.
Yeah.
There's no chance. They're going to appeal and go through this. It's going to take. It's going to be a long time.
But it's a small victory for the Hulkster, and I mean...
But who won this, though? Did Hogan win this, or Terry Bollea win it?
I don't know. It's hard to tell.
I know they have different sized dicks, apparently.
So here's the one that I like. I like that Hulk Hogan says everything Hulk or Terry Bollea says. Everything Hulk Hogan says is a lie. So I don't know. I mean, it shows you what a piece of shit Gawker is to lose this thing to this guy. Mm-hmm. Because this is the guy who goes, oh, I was in a bad place, brother. You know what, brother, dude? I was in a bad place when they did the video, dude. And the thing is, brother, I have to tell you, brother, the thing about this dude is that it took place. My son was in the jail, dude. And it's like, well, actually, it was 2 years before that. So now that lie must have been Terry Bollea's lie.
Would I lift him because why would Andre the Giant?
And I didn't know if he was going to let me go over, dude. The thing about it, brother, is... But the thing about... Andre's... Andre weighed 1,500 pounds, dude. There I was lifting the 7,000-pound Andre.
When I was on center stage with the Rolling Stones and Metallica at the same time.
Yes. Fucking guy. So... Yeah, it shows you what a piece of shit he is. But so then he's like, okay, well, I've won this thing. I'm going to get a little sympathy. Let's go do an interview. So he goes on and does a Diane Sawyer on Good Morning America. And he goes on The View, and he's like, well, you know, and the thing is, I didn't have – it was my only friend, brother. And I did the wrong thing sleeping with my brother, with Bubba's wife, dude. And then dudettes. And then The View, they start talking to him about the racist stuff. And that's still out there. And he thought just because he won this thing that he's going to be able to go out there and get some sympathy. And the truth is that this is just people have been waiting for him to show his face so they can slam him on this stuff. And The View did.
I actually will say,
and it's hilarious to me that The View is the ones that did.
I will say that some public perception has kind of felt sorry for him and actually kind of gave him some praise. I think that's because of the Privacy Act that – I think the Privacy Act that was won in this was tremendous and well-earned. But I think he's getting more sympathy than I thought he would. I could be wrong on this, though.
Well, like I said, The View kind of slammed him on the racist stuff. You know what? And all he says is, well, you know what, brother? That was me, dude. That's not what I do, dude.
I did that stuff in Florida, man.
Yeah, Florida. That's the way we grew up.
The neighborhood I grew up in, man. The mean streets of Florida.
Yeah, yeah. He's...
We did have Hogan name drops this week, though, on Raw.
I suppose, yeah, and an Edge and Christian. Yep. Sure.
He's making his way back slowly, man.
He's going to show up again. I mean, we all know. I mean, as soon as it happened, it was like, what's the over and under? And I gave 2 years.
Well, Mike Tyson's in the Hall of Fame as a domestic abuser and a rapist. So.
And you know what? Steve Austin's in the Hall of Fame, and he beat his wife. And yep, you know,
he sure did.
Jimmy Snuka killed his wife, and he's in the Hall of Fame.
I hear that, goddammit.
And yeah, exactly. And Floyd Mayweather Jr. is going to be going in there eventually. And yeah. And Pete Rose had his issues. And the WWE, I mean, yeah.
It's the Hall of Fame. It's
the Hall, and it's
the limo drivers in the Hall of Fame.
The only guy who will never get mentioned again is Chris Benoit because he almost brought down – it's not because of what he did. It's because what he did almost brought down the industry, so that made Vince mad. If it didn't affect him, who knows how he would feel.
Oh, God. That would be an interesting conversation.
I didn't want to do an impression of that one.
All right. Anything else, guys? Because it's getting pretty late there.
Yeah, I think that's about it. We got the 2-hour mark here. Mo, I really appreciate you coming on, even though you said some pretty hurtful things.
I want you to know I meant every single one of them.
I'm going to have some deep counseling about some of this, but it's okay. I'm going to take Joel to eat tomorrow, though. We'll go out and get him a bite.
Going to Booker's? You should be going to Booker's. That place is great.
Booker's, I heard it's really cool. I heard for March Madness, every screen shows the games.
You should be going there. It's an awesome place. And then
I heard Jerry Forbes from CJ eats there, too.
And nothing more fun than watching March Madness down at Booker's.
I know. I mean, they're beer deals, man. When you buy a beer there, you get put into a draw for your choice, a $500 travel voucher to your choice of NBA game. You could see Kobe's retirement. You could go see Steph Curry. If you want to see that whiny baby LeBron, you could go see that. You could go see the Raptors as they maybe make their way to the NBA Finals. You could see anything.
Maybe. Yeah, no, so I would definitely recommend, if you're going to go to lunch with Joel, let Joel take you to Booker's and buy you food there.
Yeah, I'll get Joel a stack of ribs.
I'm down for that.
Yeah, feed that boy.
I Jesus. Know, right?
He has, when he takes a sip from a straw, he has to be careful not to fall in.
when the wind blows here, I'm always nervous of, like, when we're out on shoots for Shaw, I have sandbags on my feet so I don't blow away.
Yeah, leave the jokes to me, Joel.
All right. Well,
it's been good. This is
I appreciate this. It was good to talk some wrestling. Do you want me to actually go out with a joke? Can I tell a joke on the way out?
Well, I have a little pause coming up, so you can finish on that. So until next time, cheers.
So this guy, his wife comes home from work, and he's sitting there, and she can't believe it. He's in the house because, you know, she's home from work before him. She's like, what are you doing home? And he goes, you can't believe it. It's amazing. It's the most amazing news ever. Pack your bags. I won the lottery. She goes, oh, my God, where are we going? What should I pack? He goes, I don't care. Just pack them and get the fuck out.
Enjoy the day, people.
Do you want a chance to see Steph Curry, LeBron, or maybe say goodbye to Kobe? Well, starting March 13th, head to Booker's Barbecue and Crab Shack and buy a Coors Banquet, because when you do, you'll be entered to win $500 worth of airfare to any NBA city of your choice. With specials and 13 TVs, Booker's is Calgary's home for March Madness.